Going to turn in God's Word this evening to the Gospel of Luke, Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. It's often referred to in the preaching of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're going to take up our reading this evening from verse number 11. Luke chapter 15, of course, contains the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And we're going to read about the third of those this evening. So Luke chapter 15 and verse number 11. And he said, that's the Lord Jesus, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come. And thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts this evening. I'd ask you please to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. We'll be making reference to this portion of God's word this evening, also looking at other portions in God's word. And with the word of God open before us, let's have a word of prayer, please, as we come to the preaching of his word this evening. Heavenly Father, we praise thee tonight for all that has gone on already in our service. We Thank you for the singing of the hymns, for the reading of the Word of God. And Father, we pray as we come now to consider thy truth, O Lord, that there would be that word in season to each heart gathered here. Lord, we thank thee for an infinite Redeemer, one who can save to the uttermost all those that come unto him. And Father, we pray tonight that there would be those in our service that would come to know thee as Savior. Lord, we pray for thy Spirit to come. Lord, I need thy help and thy grace tonight. O God, give words from thyself. Speak to this people, Lord, and do as good we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, the Gospel of Luke contains these wonderful pictures of salvation. And none is more striking and more poignant than this particular parable of the lost son. Of course, the value of the lost thing in this chapter increases dramatically as we go from the lost sheep, which was 1 in 100, to the lost coin, which was 1 in 10, and down to the lost son, who was 1 of 2. And really, it sets forth before us the value of a soul in the light of the Savior and his redemption. And tonight, I want to look at two young men. I want to draw our attention to these two young men, and really to, in the gospel, make application of the lives of these two young men. Only one of these young men is found in this chapter, and that, of course, is the prodigal son himself. The other young man is found somewhere else in the Word of God. And in a few minutes, I hope it will become very clear as to why I'm drawing particular parallels between these two young men. And really, this sermon was confirmed for me this morning whenever our brother Trevor, in his sermon, mentioned Joseph, because he's the other young man that I want to speak of tonight. Joseph, the son of Jacob. And of course, whenever we think of Joseph, Joseph was in many ways a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there's almost 100 parallels between Joseph's life and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we just think of a few of those, Joseph was hated of his brethren, as was the Lord Jesus Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. We think that Joseph and the Lord Jesus Christ were both sold for silver. And we think of both the Lord Jesus Christ and Joseph, they were found between two malefactors. The Lord was crucified between the two thieves, and Joseph was found in prison with the butler and the beggar. And we could draw many parallels between the Savior's life and the life of Joseph. But what I want to do tonight is to draw parallels and compare and contrast. I'm sure you've heard that in your exams at school. You're asked to compare and contrast between two different people or two different instances. But tonight we want to look at Joseph, a role model for the prodigal son. Joseph, a role model for the prodigal son. There's many similarities, you see, between the life of Joseph and the life of the prodigal son. Joseph and the prodigal son, they were both the younger sons of their father. And they were both loved by their father. We can see that very clearly in both of their lives. They both had brethren that despised them. We've read that tonight of how the elder brother despised the younger son whenever he came back home from the far country. They both ended up in a far country. Joseph and the prodigal both ended up in a far country. They both faced a time of temptation. They both experienced a time of famine. And that time of famine was the one thing that led them to be reunited with their families. And finally, they both had a joyful reunion with their fathers. So again, if we think about that, they were both the younger sons of their father. They were both loved by their father. They both had brethren that despised them. They both ended up in a far country away from home and family. They both faced a time of temptation. They both experienced a time of famine. And yet that time of famine led them to being reunited with their families. And they both enjoyed a joyful reunion with their fathers. But friends, as we know, while there was many similarities in the lives of these two young men, There were also great differences in how they reacted in those circumstances in which they found themselves. And really, friend, tonight in our meeting, the challenge goes out. Who are you most like? Spiritually speaking, who are you most like? Are you like Joseph? Or are you like the prodigal son? And if we could, as it were, go back in time and invite these two young men into the pulpit, we could place Joseph here, we could place the prodigal son here. And as we go through the sermon tonight, what we want to do is paint a picture of their lives. And again, I ask you the question, who are you most like? First of all, if we look at these points of similarity, they were both the younger sons of their father. And both of these young men were raised in loving homes with loving fathers and loving parents. And of course, Joseph was found in the family of Jacob, and he would have been taught the things of God. And similarly too, I believe this young man, the prodigal, would also have been taught the things of God. He had a father who loved him and a father who cared for him. And you know, friends, tonight, whenever we think of our family background, it's a wonderful opportunity, it's a wonderful privilege to be born into a family where you have loving parents, where you have parents who will always seek your good and always seek the best for you in life. But it's even a greater privilege to be born into a Christian home where you have Christian parents who have that desire for you not only to be brought up to have a good life, but also be brought up to have a good eternal life. A life where you will spend that eternity with Christ in heaven. That you will live a life that will be pleasing, acceptable, and honorable unto the Savior. They were both loved by their father. And yet we can see the attitude is so different between the two young men. If we think of Joseph, I want you to turn over to Genesis chapter 37. Because it's always a telling thing to read the first words spoken by someone in the Word of God, or their first recorded conversation. And we want to look here, first of all, at Joseph. In Genesis chapter 37, and in verse number 2, it says, "These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. In other words, what had happened here was that Joseph had observed in his brothers the wicked and the evil practices that they were getting up to. We don't know exactly what these things were, but it obviously was enough to grieve the heart of Joseph to bring their evil report back to his father. It was something that was upsetting to him, no doubt, to see his brothers going down a certain path, going down a certain way of life, and he brings this back to his father. And as we go through the life of Joseph, we can see how much Joseph loved to be in the company of his father, how much he loved to commune with his father, to speak to his father. And I wonder, do we appreciate in our families those who love us, those who God has placed in authority over us, even within our family circle, but also even within the family of the Church of Jesus Christ? Do we have that regard, that love for those within the Church of God? Joseph loved his father. But the first recorded words of the prodigal are also very telling. If we look there again in Luke chapter 15, so if you keep your thumb in Genesis and move over to Luke chapter 15 again, the very first words of the prodigal are found there in verse 12. "And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." The prodigal saw his father as a means to an end. He really saw his father as what we would term in this present society as almost like a cash machine, to get the money that was rightfully his so that he could do what he wanted to do. And it tells us there, he says, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. You see, the young man here had a view of his father as being one that was really his ticket to the far country. He's looked over the years where his father had loved for him, cared for him, tended to him, yes, perhaps even witnessed to him, raised him in the things of God, but that didn't really matter. All he wanted was to get what he could from his father and then to make his journey into the far country. And you know, friends, there's many like that, even in our meeting, perhaps, tonight. There's certainly many like that in our country today, where though they have the godly parentage, it's really just their parents are a means to an end. Give me the money, and then we're gone. And can I ask you at this point again, friend, tonight, which are you most like? Are you more like Joseph? Does sin and wickedness grieve you? Does it concern you to see others being found in sin and in wickedness? Or are you more like the prodigal? Are you more like the one who would desire just to take what he can and go? And that is the picture really here that is set before us. We also see that both of these young men ended up in the far country, away from home and from family. Joseph, we know, ended up in the far country because his brothers despised him. They were jealous of him. They despised the position that he had within the home. And yes, Jacob, if you like, showed great favoritism towards his son Joseph. And that was enough to cause his brethren to act in envy and jealousy toward him. And Joseph ends up in the far country. Now remember this, Joseph did not want to be in the far country. There is no record here in Scripture that would even imply that Joseph wanted to be anywhere else but with his father and with his family. And yet he finds himself in the far country. And you know, if I just digress slightly for a moment, it is possible, Christian, that things come along our path that we don't expect. Perhaps we end up in a position where we never wanted to be. Perhaps we end up in a circumstance that we find difficult, that we find lonely, that we find it a hard station in life to carry. And I'm sure Joseph felt that way. If you can imagine this young lad, 17 years of age, being carried into the land of Egypt, away from all that he loved. And he finds himself in the far country, away from his family and his father. And the word of God tells us in Acts 7 verse 9 that the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. And that's a wonderful promise even tonight, Christian. Irrespective of what we face in life, God is with us. No matter what the trial is that comes across our path, God is with us. Whenever things don't work out the way that we planned, through no fault of our own, God is with us, and he's promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. And you see, Joseph found himself in the far country. That was not within his plan. That was not within the idea that he had for life, I'm sure. But the prodigal, for him, it was a different story. The prodigal wanted to be in the far country. That's where he desired to be. That's where he longed to be. That's where he wanted to be. And you know, tonight in our service, perhaps there are people, and friend, you're in the far country. Spiritually speaking, that is exactly where you are. Because let us understand that the far country, as mentioned here, doesn't have to be a geographical place. Rather, it's a state of mind. It's a frame of heart and mind, and perhaps that's where you are. You maybe have come along here tonight to please someone. You've come along here tonight at the invitation of a friend or of someone else who has brought you in, and it's wonderful that you're here. But if we were to dissect your heart, your mind, your emotions, we would soon find that actually you're in the far country. You're away from God. Your desire is not to be like Joseph, seeking to follow after the Lord, and the Lord is not with you. Now tell me, friend, tonight, which one are you most like? Are you like Joseph? Or are you like the prodigal in the far country? And both of these young men, when they were in the far country, they faced a time of temptation. And we all know exactly what happened with Joseph. If you turn over again to Genesis chapter 39, you'll remember the story of Potiphar's wife and how she sought to entice Joseph. It's found there in Genesis chapter 39. It's believed that Joseph was in Potiphar's house from when he was 17 until he was roughly 27, a period of around 10 years. And the Word of God tells us of how Potiphar's wife sought to tempt Joseph. She sought to seduce him. And if you look there in Genesis 39 and verse 10, it says, "And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day." Not once, not twice, day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or be with her. Can you imagine that? Here's a young man who's away from home. He's away from family. I'm sure Joseph had his moments when he was bitter toward the situation that he was in, when he could have argued and said, "Well, it's not my fault that I'm in the far country. It's not my fault that I'm away from home and family. Why has this happened to me?" I'm sure he asked those questions many, many times. And yet, while he's here in the far country, God has blessed him. And God has promoted him. He's now the head of Potiphar's house, one of the most powerful men in Egypt. And Joseph has worked his way to the top, and God has blessed him. And yet, in that position of blessing, temptation comes his way. And remember, as we read from the book of Acts, God was with him. And I believe, friends, that was the focus of Joseph's life, that God was with him, that God was ever before him. And in verse 9, we read those words, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Isn't that a wonderful role model? Isn't that a wonderful example for us to live our lives by? That even in the fiercest temptation, Joseph remembers the Lord. Joseph thinks of his testimony first and foremost before God, the one with him whom he has to do. Yes, no doubt, I'm sure he thought of his home and his family and how he would let down the family name, but first and foremost, his thought is toward the Lord. And then we have the prodigal. The prodigal runs to the far country. The prodigal faces the same temptation that Joseph faced. And maybe I'm being kind by saying that he faced temptation, because I suppose, if we're absolutely honest, that's what he was looking for. That's what he was running to. You see, he was in the far country long before he even got there. His desire was to be involved in all the sin and all the vice of the world, to be involved in all the wickedness that he could get his hands on. And the elder brother really spells it out for us there. Whenever he says in verse 30 of Luke 15, "But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." In other words, he brings up his past. He brings up all the sin that he's been involved in. And what Joseph, by the grace of God, withstood, the prodigal runs to. That's his desire. "I can't wait to get away. I can't wait to get into the far country. I can't wait to escape the freedom of this home that I'm in, of these restrictions that are around me. I want to get out and to do my own thing." He wanted to receive the good things that came to him of this life. Matthew Henry said, "The great folly of sinners, and that which ruins them, is being content in their lifetime to receive their good things. Just to be content with the things of this world." And you know, he goes on and he says that our first parents ruined themselves and all of the human race by a foolish ambition to be independent. And that is why sinners persist in their sin. "I want to be independent." How many times do we hear that? Of young people saying, "Well, I can't wait till I am 18. I can't wait until I get to university. I can't wait till I get out and do just whatever I want to do. I want to be independent." And you know, friends, tonight I wonder, as I said, which one are you most like? Joseph or the prodigal? And maybe there's someone here tonight and maybe you're thinking of moving away. You're thinking of, even as a young Christian, of moving somewhere else. Perhaps going to university somewhere else in the years to come. Well, friend, Joseph can be your role model. You can live for God no matter where you're found. No matter how stiff the temptation. Joseph here is an example of how we ought to live our lives for the Savior. To be a witness for him. I can remember 2 years ago, standing outside a lecture theatre waiting to get in. If you think preachers are long-winded, lecturers can be long-winded too. And this man was going on, and I was waiting to get in with my class. And I was standing, and there was a lot of students around me, and I was encouraged to hear the young fellow that was standing beside me witnessing to his friend and inviting him out to church. And here was a young man who, in all that goes on within university life, was still taking a stand for God. And there's many young people like that who take a stand for God and who are a witness and a bright and shining light for the Savior. And yet how sad it is that there's so many who just want to run to the sin and the vice that's in the far country. Again, friend, tonight, which one are you most like? Both of these young men, they faced a time of famine. We all know of how Joseph faced the time of famine whenever Egypt and the rest of the land fell into hardship. There was the 7 good years, and then there was the 7 years when there was nothing at all. And yet again, God was with Joseph and blessed him. And by him being there, we know of how the land was blessed and the land was saved. And yet we see this young man in Luke chapter 15, and he faces exactly the same scenario. He faces the time of famine. And it tells us there in verse 14, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. So he went home." No, he didn't. Even when he was in want in the far country, he still wanted to be there. He had put everything he had into the far country. This is the place that he loved. This is the place that he wanted to be. And now he's in want. And then it says he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. So at that point he decided to go home. No. Things have now got worse. For him as a Jew, things are now really bad. That he's out in the fields feeding the swine and things are worse. Things are not going the way he had planned. The money's dried up. The friends have gone. He's in want. He's out in the fields. He's hungry. And it tells us there in verse 16, "He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." So then he went home. No. And you know, friends, it really shows us just the sinfulness of the heart of man. That even whenever things begin to go badly, even then, man does not look up. We sometimes look around us and we see so many in our society today and they have so much. And if we look in this land, even though we are in a time of economic crisis and so on, and that is not to be trivialized in any way, but we still have a lot, materially speaking. But even in these times, men still do not turn to God. Even whenever things begin to go wrong, man does still not turn to God. And finally, as we read there in verse 17, and when he came to himself, realization begins to dawn upon him. And he begins to say, as we read those very familiar verses, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Here's a young man. He's spent everything that he's had. He's put his whole life savings of his father into this particular venture into the far country. It's all gone wrong for him. His friends are gone. His money's gone. Everything's gone. Those words, I'm sure that his father would have said to him years ago, are now coming true. I'm sure his father warned him of the dangers of going into the far country. But that's where sin has taken him. And you know, friends, this is a good news story. Because this is where things begin to get better for this young man. The sad thing is, as our own minister has said many times, there's many prodigals who don't come back from the far country. There's many prodigals who don't return. And you know, the word of God reminds us in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. What does that mean? Well, it just means if someone goes into the far country, if someone gets away from God and they die, well, they die as they are. Were they saved? Well, the Lord knows the heart. The Word of God reminds us that the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And friend, tonight, if you're in the far country, you need to get out of the far country. You need to come to the Savior. You need to come to yourself first and foremost. You need to realize the sinfulness of the state that you're in. You need to realize that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You need to come to the Savior, because this famine, as we said, was the means by which these two young men were both reunited with their fathers. This prodigal, he comes to himself and he says, I will arise and go to my father. And what does he do? He begins to put together his confession. And he says, he's going to come to his father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Can you imagine the shame of coming back to his father in that regard? Can you imagine what it would have taken for him to come back and to meet his father? But he does it. And you know, friend, if you're in our meeting tonight and you're not saved, you need to leave the sin behind. And you need to come to Christ. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In Genesis 46, we read of Joseph making ready to come and to meet with his father, Jacob. And it says there in Joseph, this is verse 29 of Genesis 46, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Do you know what? That's exactly what the prodigal son and his father did. It says he ran and he fell on his neck and kissed him. That's what the prodigal and the father did when they came together. In Genesis 46 and verse 29, we read exactly the same thing happened with Joseph and Jacob. He says he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Friends, there's something missing. There's something missing whenever we look at what Joseph did. And I think it's wonderful. You know what it was? Joseph didn't have to turn to his father and say, Father, I have sinned before heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Joseph was able to look his father Jacob in the eye. He had not let down the family name. He had not failed the Lord. He had not yielded to temptation when it came his way. And he was able to just enjoy being reunited with his father once again. And my encouragement goes out again to young people here. You can have that walk with God. You can have that life that glorifies the Savior if you set Joseph and ultimately the Savior as your role model in life, to follow after him and to live for him. They had this joyful reunion with their fathers, and they came together and they met together. And you know, friends, here in our meeting tonight, there's many, and perhaps you look back through your life and you consider, well, yes, I'm just like the prodigal. I lived a life that was far away from God. I lived a life that was involved in the sin and the wickedness of this world, but you know, Christ saved me. The Lord Jesus Christ came into my life. He took away my sin. And there's many here tonight can say that. And the Apostle Paul, whenever he was speaking to the Corinthian church there in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, he said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And then he says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." That is the offer tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And tonight you can have the experience of the prodigal who returns, to leave behind a life that is wasted. In Romans 6 and verse 21, Paul says, "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed?" In other words, what value is it? What do you get out of sin? What is really the consequence of sin? It's only death. It's only shame. It's only a life of ruin. And friend, tonight, just again as I finish, I put forth the challenge. Who are you like tonight? Is your life more like that of Joseph? Are you seeking to live for God, to serve him, to follow after him? Or are you like the prodigal? Are you away in the far country, away from the Savior? Well, can I encourage you to be like the prodigal? And tonight to turn around, to seek the Lord while he may be found, and to call upon him while he is near. I trust that you will do that tonight. Amen. We're just going to sing in closing hymn number 273. Hymn number 273, "I Hear Thy Welcome Voice That Calls Me, Lord, to Thee for Cleansing in the Precious Blood That Flowed on Calvary." Hymn number 273, again, I would ask you just to stand to sing, and we'll just sing verses 1 and 2 while we close our service, please.